Hello.
Hi.
I've been doing that a lot more lately. You say the hello silly. This is the Surprise Lake Middle School Principal's Office podcast, and I'm sitting with Ms. Reese, our ELL teacher. Let's get started with, since I already, and I do this often, is introduce yourself, your background, and time in our district. I already introduced you, but you can do it as well, too.
Okay. My name is Deborah Reese. I am the English as a second language teacher at Surprise Lake and Hedden. I have been teaching English as a second language for a long time. I think it's been over 20 years. I started in Texas.
Oh, in Texas. Okay.
2 years in Texas. And then I went to Pasco School District in Eastern Washington, and I taught there for 3 years. And then I came to Fife in, I think it was 1999. And so it's been almost 20 years in Fife this next fall, I think, 19 years. So altogether, I've been teaching 25 years already.
Wow. It
seems like a long time, but it's gone by really fast.
Jeez, I guess. So... how did you get into, I don't know, that's off script, I'm breaking off script a little bit, but you, how did you get into ELL?
When I graduated from college, I took several Spanish classes. I have always liked Spanish. I started taking Spanish when I was in seventh grade at the first opportunity, and I always enjoyed it, so I decided to take some classes in college as a kind of a break to my academic schedule. And one of my Spanish teachers said, hey, there's an endorsement in Spanish if you're interested, but I never really checked it out. So I took 25 credits, and then I realized they were the wrong 25 credits for an endorsement. You had to take more reading and writing, and I was about to graduate, so I didn't have time to finish my endorsement, but I enjoyed, I thought I was a good speaker of Spanish, at least within my classroom and with my teacher. He was very encouraging. But when I got into the real world, I realized I did not speak very well in Spanish. And I got a job in Texas. That was my first job, and it was a bilingual teacher. And so I've always been interested in other cultures and other languages. And so I pursued that, but then when I realized that my language was not really up to snuff, then I realized, oh, maybe I should go back and get more training, but I never really had the chance. And it wasn't actually until I got here to Fife that I learned from a parent during parent-teacher conferences when I taught at Discovery. He would teach me as he was going through his conferences. He would teach me vocabulary words so that I could.
Who was that?
That was Juan Carrillo. He's Raquel Carrillo, Omar Carrillo. He had like 4 or 5 kids that went through here.
Yeah.
And he didn't speak any English. So he would tell me in Spanish words like I would say incorrectly, and he would correct me. And then he would say it's better if you say it this way. And then as his kids would go through school, then he would explain more in English, because his English grew and my Spanish grew. So then,
oh, that's cool.
We could kind of, and I finally told him when the youngest, I think, is Raquel. She came through, and I said, "You were the one that helped me become proficient at parent-teacher conferences." And he was really honored. He was like, "Oh my gosh, I've never. That's so cool."
See that, and you know what? I go sometimes because I'm a chucklehead that never learned any kind of second language, like ever, other than maybe the CDs when I was going to Italy years ago. But like, it escapes my mind. But I always feel when I'm trying to contact parents or when I'm trying to talk to families, I go, "Gosh, I'm the idiot in this thing, and I can't do that." I'm glad that when they have somebody to connect with, it's you, because it's just a positive influence, and that personal touch that you do, I just go, that's perfect for those kids.
Yeah.
For those parents.
That was really a fun time, I think, even though it was exhausting to be trying, I would translate during parent-teacher conferences at Endeavor and Discovery. Hedden wasn't built yet. And it was exhausting, but it was so fun to get to know the families and and kind of be able to help their kids at school and then talk to them a couple times a year and watch them grow too with their kids in their own way. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So next question then. When did you decide to work in education? So when did it?
By the time I graduated from college, I had decided to get my teaching certificate, but I had originally planned to be a children's book author, and my mom kind of laughed at me and said, "You're not going to make any money," because I just wanted to get an English degree. And she was like, "You better get your teaching certificate so you can at least get a teaching job and make some money, because a children's book author, you know, there's no guarantee." And I didn't really have a plan. I just kind of said that because I thought it would be cool. And she was the one who was like, "No, you're going to be practical and you're going to have a teaching degree so that at least you can make money and support yourself." And I think at first I was kind of half-hearted about it. I kind of had a rough start in education. I started subbing and then I quit because I just didn't, I just wasn't into it. And I felt like it was a big mystery. Even though I had graduated with a teaching degree, I did my student teaching, actually teaching a class is a lot different.
Yeah.
And so I didn't feel like I had the tools. So I quit that for a while, and I worked outside of education for about 5 years, and then I finally went back and was a lot more committed to it and felt like, okay, I think I know what I'm doing now. So it was kind of a roundabout. I kind of had to find my niche, and I felt like ELL was really where my heart was. I mean, I like all kids, but I really felt like I could contribute with ELL kids.
You know, and I think, like, when you can't really teach. It's too hard to do without actually being passionate about it. Similarly, my dad laughed off my dreams of being star middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears. so that's... yours was probably a little bit closer to attainable. Okay, what is one thing that students would be surprised to find out about Mrs. Reese?
I can also speak some Chinese, because I lived in Taiwan for 6 months, and I got to the point where I could actually answer the phone, which I found out later is really hard to do. If you are speaking a second language and you are trying to understand somebody through the phone, because you can't see their face and you can't see their mouth. A lot of times when you're communicating in a second language, you pay a lot of attention to sounds coming out because they're not familiar, and you're trying to hear distinctions so that you can understand the words that they're saying. And when you talk on the phone, you don't have that context. And so I felt a lot more confident after I left. I was like, oh, I got to the point where I could actually answer the phone and take a message and tell that person that somebody called. So after immersing myself in Mandarin Chinese for a good 5 months, probably, because the first month I was homesick and freaking out that I was in a different country. And then after I could kind of learn some of the sounds and some distinguished words, it's completely different from English. It's completely different from anything I had ever studied before, because the whole character system has sounds. They have tones where you say a word four different ways and you're saying completely different words. So it was a big eye opener and really, really fun after a while. I was like, oh, this is kind of challenging and fun. But then I realized, wow, in the other parts of the world, there's a completely different culture and lifestyle and language going on. But so.
That's cool. You know, and I had heard that. There was a friend of mine whose last name, he moved to Japan, and in his last name was something obscene if he said it in a certain way, but not the other way. Yeah. It was like, it took him a while to figure that out because it was kind of a slang thing. So, All right. What makes a good day at school for you?
A good day is when I feel like my students have learned something that they didn't know before they came to class, and that they're positive about that learning. So if I have some positive interactions with kids, but they also show me during the lesson that they've learn something new. That would be a good day.
You know how common that is? Like, just that, when a kid, like, that little ding, the little light bulb when that goes off. Okay, what is the best thing about being a teacher?
I think the best thing about being a teacher, other than summers off, is working with kids, all different kinds of kids, meeting kids from all different backgrounds and learning about them, whether they're kids in my class or whether they're kids that I just run across when I'm out and about. That is my favorite part.
I hear you on that. You've been here for 20 years now through the Fife District, and it's kind of cool to go, like, this is family. Like, it happens fast. Like, that I have parents here that were students of mine, or like there was a kid that was, they're like, hey, there's a shady character hanging out there outside. And so I went to talk to him, and we connected. Oh, you were in my class. And you know, that's kind of a neat thing. It makes you feel like a part of the community.
I had my first student that I had when she was in kindergarten at Discovery, and she had just arrived from Mexico, and now her son is at Hedden.
So that's cool.
I met them at Open House, and that was really, really cool.
All right. What's the last book you read?
I read a young adult novel called Freak the Mighty about a boy who's disabled, but he really tried. It's actually about two boys that are disabled. One has a learning disability and the other one is physically disabled. And they have a connection because the boy who's physically disabled is a good talker and he can talk, kind of convince people that he's tougher than he is or that he has abilities that he really doesn't have. And then the boy who has the learning disability, he's a very big boy, and so they kind of go together because the other boy's small and in kind of he has, his physical disabilities are that he can't walk very well and he has difficulty moving and his body's kind of misshapen from his disability, and so he's kind of small and scrawny and the other boy's big, and so they kind of work well together in different situations. They get bullied and they have to work out a solution to that and how they do it, and it's a very human story.
It's a really good
story.
What was the name of it?
Freak the Mighty.
Freak the Mighty. I was going to say I could write this down, but I suppose I'm going to go back and I have to listen to this anyway, so perfect. What excites you about being in education right now?
I guess, like, a lot of technology is available to kids that, especially if you're learning a second language, it's helpful to hear someone else who's fluent in the language read something to you. So we have extensions on Google and apps that will really help communication. And that's exciting to connect kids with that because it makes it a lot easier to be able to keep up and feel like they know what's going on in class. So,
you know what? Kudos to you because, again, always the weird thing about technology is getting this, you know, you get the Chromebook in there, you're like, I gotta use this, and that's not the case. You're one of those people that go, all right, wait a second, you were one of them that as soon as we were getting Chromebooks, you're like, let's bring them on. Faster we can get them, the better we can do. You're ready to have that stuff in. It was never like a nuisance that you felt like you had to use. It was something like, let's get this in the hands of kids as soon as possible.
Yes. So
the big finish, if you could give one piece of advice to a student, what would you give?
I guess I see a lot of kids that, well, and it's partly their age right now. They're very focused on themselves, but the more they can kind of look around and see that other kids might not be thinking about them, if you can kind of open your eyes and have some confidence in yourself and your ability, even if it's something that you are able to do that's outside of school and other kids might not see that every day, to take pride in that and be willing to share and have some confidence, because I think confidence goes a long way. And even for myself, being when I was 12, 13 years old, I didn't have any confidence. But if I'd had someone telling me, hey, you can do this well, and you can do that well. Those are tools that you will use later that will help propel you forward and help bring success. That if they can do that, then I think that would be a help.
Perfect. You know what? The music came on just in time. So that's it. We'll wrap up. Thank you for taking the time to do this with me.